time of our chat. She was also training for a triathlon as a way to highlight the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative, which is a 21-week course for parents that integrates Ojibwe culture, child development, and leadership. We spoke with her on that and a bunch more, so enjoy.
So IPLI is Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative. The unique thing about White Earth IPLI is how it's so culturally appropriate for Ojibwe people.
Buju, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Cole Primo. Meek waits for joining us today. Native Lights is a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Every week we have wonderful conversations with great guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. These are policy makers, artists, social media content creators, educators, you name it. We talk to them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with community, and it centers around purpose and amplifying Native voices. So I'm excited to do that today. And Leah, how are you doing? Are you okay? Or what's going on? How are you doing?
No. I'm not feeling well, but I am here for it. I'm ready to chit-chat with our guest. I was just at Glacier National Park. It was gorgeous, beautiful, and almost the entire time we were at the park in the mountains, we sang the Misty Mountains song from The Hobbit, the feature film, like the whole time. Yes.
The Misty Mountains. Cool.
Seriously, we were all just singing along. We're in the mountains, pretending to be in Lord of the Rings. It was wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, you know, just hanging out. I did recently see Prey, the movie. It's like the Predator sequel. It's got a lot of Native actors, and it was great. I actually put it pretty close to the first one, maybe like a really close second. And that's a tough one because that one was like, it's like one of my top movies.
Yeah.
But it's a good one. I think if you haven't seen it, you should check it out soon.
Excellent. Well, today I'm really excited to talk to our guest because she is doing really cool work with the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative, Beth Ann Dodds. She works at the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative, and they're doing these trainings to help empower parents' voices to better serve the youth, better serve the children in their communities. And so Megan Lotka, who will be talking with today, is a part of the White Earth Communities Initiative rollout. And she is first generation descendant of the White Earth Nation. She's a mom. And guess what? In her bio, she writes that she has a basset hound named Chow. She's a learner and a revitalizer of Ojibwemoan. She's an elementary teacher, trainer, and facilitator. She's recently in this effort to help empower parents' voices. And as a part of that, she is training for a triathlon. So she is also an athlete to raise awareness for the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative. And today we are talking with Megan Lotka.
Buju, Megan, could you please introduce yourself and where you're joining us from?
Ani Minanakwin, Dizinakaz, Makwundundundim, Kawababian, Kaznundundjaba. I'm in Fargo right now because I just got done recording voter rights documents in Ojibwe for the BIA. So I'm in Fargo in between, and my son Jake with me. And we are hanging out at the nice little Broadway Square Park.
Whereabouts do you call home?
Wabin, and that is on the White Earth Reservation.
Nice. And can you say again, you're recording some documents?
Yeah, so in April, this company found me on LinkedIn and asked if I would be interested in transcribing and recording some documents. So the documents are for voter rights, and the BIA did this big push for Indigenous languages, and they are, there's six other nations that are also recording and transcribing voter rights documents. So it's an executive order and then a voter rights tribal documents order.
Gotcha. So is it voter rights then for state, federal, or is it tribal?
So it's federal, and the gist of it is the Biden-Harris administration is pushing for accessible voting for the nations that are part of this order. So it's a lot of talk about, well, I'm not going to tell you what's in there because I don't know if I can or not.
Sure.
But what I did was this company sent me the orders and gave me a deadline and said, transcribe these in Ojibwe. So I did that. And then today I finally got to record them all in Ojibwe.
Very cool. Great. Well, thanks for sharing. Megan, what is at the top of your mind right now? What are you thinking about? What's going on in your life?
So back to school is a big one. Mama three. So it's like getting the kids situated and making sure everybody has everything that they need for school coming up here. I'm going, attending a training this week for IPLI in Ohio. So I'm getting ready to go to Ohio for a few days, and that's through Indigenous Visioning. So myself and a couple coworkers are going to go to that. And then I'm just relieved that I'm done with this transcribing.
Oh.
Because it's been lengthy and it's taken up a lot of time, and there's not a lot of Ojibwe words for executive orders.
See, that's the interesting stuff. Like, how do you manage to translate or transcribe that, these words that aren't readily available?
So you kind of have to loop around because the language is so specific. It's like, okay, so for instance, a sentence in the order would be like, access for Native Americans for multiple voting sites on election day. So there's an Ojibwe word for vote, but there's an Ojibwe word for election day, but it's not like, so you have to kind of make it up. Like,
yeah,
you have to piece Ojibwe words together that make sense in English language. And you have to talk about who, what, when, and where, because that's mm-hmm. how the language is. Like, there is no word for for the people.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't really a word for that. It's like, what's for the people? Well, voting access. Well, there is an Ojibwe word for access. They have to be super specific.
Well, let's talk about the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative and what you're doing with them. Can you tell us a bit about IPLI and what it means to you?
So IPLI is Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative, and I just think it's a really awesome initiative for our reservation because it's empowering parents to have a voice in their communities in a positive way. And in this first cohort, we have 12 participants right now, and they come from all different communities on the res, and we're into like week 12 out of 20. And we really established our own family and our own community within this cohort. And my part in the initiative is two different settings. So I'm the facilitator of phase one and phase two. And I'm also the Indigenous Foundations curriculum facilitator. And so we're the First Nation in the country. We had Mr. Anton Troyer create a curriculum for the IPLI curriculum. And we're applying language and culture into the IPLI curriculum. So the unique thing about WIDERS IPLI cohort is the Indigenous piece and how it's so culturally appropriate for Ojibwe people.
What do you see as being culturally specific for the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative to help empower parents voices.
Well, how do you know who you are without your culture? So a lot of our ways and traditions have been lost due to historical trauma. Mm-hmm. And we see huge generational gaps in our families when it comes to traditional teachings, games, storytelling, and language. And so this Indigenous curriculum is seasonal. So I've taken pieces of Anton's curriculum and kind of just taken his teachings and then things that I know. Like for summer, we did, part of the curriculum was berry picking. So we talked about berry picking and where we can find berries and why berries are an important food source for Ojibwe people. But then I took them on a plant walk and taught them some Indigenous plants and household uses for those. So I'm giving them a chance to be resourceful in their own backyard and not dependent on a pharmacy or even a grocery store.
And so you're 12 weeks into a 20-week program. Have you seen some changes or some strengthening of voices?
We have seen, well, we have a mother that was living with her sister, and then throughout the course so far, she just got into her own home and got her children back full time. So that's been a great success story so far in the cohort. I myself became sober through the cohort. I wouldn't say I had a drinking problem, but I needed a new focus. And so signing up for the triathlon and doing it sober in honor of our participants is something that I did for myself.
Wow, that's really great. Well, let's talk a bit about the triathlon then. So you decided to do a triathlon. Can you talk about why and how it's going?
So I chose a triathlon because the date that I signed up for was 20 weeks. So I'm like, these people are giving us 20 weeks of their time. I'm going to give them 20 weeks of mine and do this triathlon in their honor. A few years ago, my brother and sister-in-law did the triathlon. And when my brother finished, he patted me on the back and said, okay, now it's your turn. And I was like, oh, I can't not, you know, do it when I'm challenged by my older brother. So it's kind of a two-for-one deal for me with that. And the triathlon is in Detroit Lakes. So it's a Young Life triathlon. It's a swim, a bike, and a run on August 20th.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And today we're speaking with Megan Lotka, White Earth Nation descendant, teacher, trainer, facilitator. And Megan has been training for a triathlon, so soon to be triathlete, to raise awareness for the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative.
Megan, I was curious, I'm always curious of how people got into the line of work that they get into. What sparked your passion for, education and I guess specifically empowering parents?
So it's kind of a roundabout way, but when I first graduated from high school, I went to school for nursing and then I had my daughter and then I never went back to school until years later. And then I had 3 kids by then and went to the tribal college and I was doing childcare. And my childcare licensor, Kim Lage, was like, you know, you would be great at teaching or early ed or whatever. And there's a great program at the tribal college in Manoma and you should check that out. So I checked it out. I put myself through school and then the tribal college had a cohort with the University of Minnesota to obtain a 4-year teaching degree. So then I kept going and went and did that. And that's how I got my 4-year degree as well. And then working for White Earth Child Care Program, White Earth Head Start. Then I was introduced to MinTREC, which is Minnesota Tribal Early Ed. And so I became a trainer through MinTREC, and it it was I became a cultural trainer because I, at the tribal college, I became so passionate about the language and revitalizing the language. And then I became a language teacher at the elementary school. And so I never really grew up and thought, oh, I'm going to be a language teacher. The language found me and has taken me where I am today. This fall, I started at the Nedawash Charter School, and I'm going to be teaching. I'll be in my own classroom for the first time, and I'll be teaching a sixth grade dual language classroom, and that'll be the first dual language classroom at the charter school.
To skip back a little bit, I was curious about the curriculum for the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative. You talked about like plant gathering. What other things can people expect to, you know, learn to experience during this?
So one thing that was a really big hit was the Bagasi game. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a wooden bowl and game pieces. And you have everybody like puts in a little something. For our group, we just did small prizes. And you go around and everybody has a chance to toss the pieces in the bowl a certain way. And depending on what you land on, you earn points and you collect sticks. And the person who collects all the sticks wins the kitty. So that was a game everybody got to make and take home. We talk a lot about the seven grandfather teachings, and I've done several different activities with that. We follow the season. So winter was storytelling. Spring was starting, everything wakes up and things like that. We talked about some gathering in the spring. We talked about planting. We've talked about summer harvest. We're going into fall, so we'll be talking about wild rice and that importance. Well, and within each lesson, there's also language, because you can't have your culture without your language. Those are the things that I can think of off the top of my head.
And each participant chooses a community project, right?
So part of the participant's job as I go through the course is establish a community project to give back to their community or to have a voice in their community in a positive way. One of our participants is going to go through a training for Mothers of Tradition, and she's going to become a trainer to bring that training to her community. And then one of our participants is involved with the language. So she is going to be helping out at the tribal college and collecting data with the college to see what people are interested in and the activities and things that they would like to see for public events. We have a mom who wants to do a safe place, a safe home. So she's looking into becoming a certified safe home for especially abused children. And she wants to see that cycle stopped within her family and her community. Another mom had some abuse and violence towards her as dating as a teen. And so she wants to start a talking circle for young teens about safe practices of dating and relationships and healthy relationships and things like that. One of our elders, she is doing a project where she's creating like a database of like pipe carriers and language speakers and people that have teachings to share, so that if someone out in the community wants to learn Ojibwe or go to a talking circle or obtain their Ojibwe name, they can go to this database and look for someone in their area. And then she will help them through that process. So we're seeing lots of different community projects. And the participants don't have to have them done by graduation, but they will receive $500 for startup money through the initiative. And they're not just graduated and done. Then they become the alumni and the like big brother, big sister group of the next cohort. And so they have to continue on with their community projects.
Gotcha. So they kind of become mentors, so to speak, kind of the next cohort.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, it's like a regenerative program. That's really beautiful.
Yeah. And it's all over the country. So the National Parent Leadership Initiative is like a grandfather. And then the IPLI is the son. And then they have a Children's Leadership Initiative as well, where the initiative offers a meal and a daycare and a stipend, because we try to make it, we want the parents to be successful, and finding childcare and feeding everybody is hard sometimes when you have a meeting after work. So we offer that for them so they remain successful throughout the program. And then the children's part is, instead of attending childcare for those hours that we're together, the children would be receiving their own curriculum. So that's where we're hoping this really goes for White Earth, is to see all three phases happening.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Megan Lodka, White Earth Nation descendant, teacher, trainer, facilitator, and Megan is a soon-to-be triathlete raising awareness for the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative.
What else is going on in your life, Megan?
Well, triathlon training.
Okay. So I've run a couple marathons, and training takes up so much time. It's like a real commitment.
So my kids know I'm out the door like 8 o'clock at night, or I get up early in the morning and go before they're awake. And we've spent lots and lots of lake days. Lots of lake days where they're swimming and I'm swimming. So it's really kind of been tricky to fit it all in, and I don't think I'm anywhere near where I should be to be doing a triathlon in a couple weeks.
Do you like to swim?
I like to swim, but I don't like getting my face wet. And I'm the person that, like, I take a half an hour to get into the water. Like, I slowly have to adjust to the water. And I don't like going under the water either. But I think the swim will be the easy part, because the 12-plus mile bike ride, like, you know, like, people who do these triathlons, I call them the fancy people, because they have the fancy equipment in the bikes. And I have, like, 5-year-old Nikes and my kid's dirt bike from Walmart. Like, that's what I've been training with. So I don't foresee anything amazing happening for me at this triathlon. Just get through it. Like, my goal is to complete the triathlon. Like, right now, the bike I've been using, I've been going between my son's bike and my oldest's bike. And right now, it's stuck in sixth gear. And so I'm just like, hills are rough right now.
Yeah.
Hills are really rough.
Wow. Well, the fancy people got their stuff. You got your stuff. And we'll be rooting for you.
And, you know, Native people are resourceful and we use what we have. And so I thought, I don't need this fancy equipment. And then I'm like, oh, I should have thought about this a little more with the bike. I really should have thought about this with the bike.
You're in the middle of the curriculum right now when it comes to the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative. Is there resources for people who want to get into that? Or is there going to be another course down the line? Just curious about that.
So we just got the go ahead to start cohort 2. So if anybody's interested, they can go to the White Earth IPLI Facebook page and they can check out what we've been doing. The contact information is there. The link to apply is there. The process is really easy. We just need you to fill out the application. Make sure your name and your phone number is on there so we can reach you. You'll go through an interview. And then We'll ask you a series of questions, like, why does this interest you? What are your goals to the initiative? Things like that. And then we have a civic design team. So after your interview, the civics team will meet and review your application, and then we will give you a call back with your happy news that you're part of the next cohort.
I guess as we kind of get to the end of the interview, I'm just curious if you had any, you know, last thoughts, final thoughts on, you know, just anything or just the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative.
So my last thought is, be brave, because triathlons are scary and training is scary, and I'm not a very active person either, guys. I love the outdoors and I love hiking and I love being outside with my kids, but I'm not a triathlon person. I did do 2 5Ks this summer, which is a lot for me. So it's making me more, it's turning me into an active person. So be brave and trust yourself to try new things.
Great words to live by, for sure.
Yes, I love that. Thank you for sharing, Megan. I really appreciate it. And there's more information online about your triathlon training. I know you have a GoFundMe site. And I can't wait to see how you do. I'm sure there'll be some fun pictures.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, the goal is to finish. So just send me good energy about finishing.
Yes. Finishing. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, and those Nikes and your kid's bike, they'll do the job. We'll sage them up first.
All right. Jimmy Gwaich.
I really appreciate it. Good luck with all the training.
Yeah, thank you guys too. Giga Wabaman.
Getting tired just thinking about all that training.
I'm sure she'll get through it. She'll conquer the triathlon, but I don't think she's going to avoid getting her face wet when it comes to it.
I don't like that either. I'm all doggy paddling. I could never do a I shouldn't say I could never do a triathlon, because what Megan just spoke about is very wise, and being brave is important and a value.
So thank you to Megan Lotka, White Earth Nation descendant, teacher, trainer, facilitator. Megan has also been training for a triathlon to raise awareness for the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative. I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening. Giga Wabaman.
Giga Wabaman.
Native Lights, Where Indigenous Voices Shine, is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
When it comes to mental health, connecting with others can be a way forward. Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connection as a comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug. Together, we can find ways to create a path forward. For more information, visit mentalhealth.org.
KFAI is proud to present Orkestar Bez Ime at the Cedar Cultural Center on Saturday, December 2nd. The Cedar celebrates the 21st anniversary of Orkestar Bez Ime, the award-winning Balkan party band from the Twin Cities. They will be performing material from the forthcoming album, 21, their first album in over 10 years, bringing together all the elements of music from the Balkans and Eastern Europe, which have made them an audience favorite. Opening the celebration is Ukrainian Village Band. Tickets for the Orkestar Bez Ime can be found at the Cedar Cultural Center website. Visit thecedar.org for more details.
Welcome to Cow Stories, programmed by people of color, for people of color, and everybody else. I'm Luz Maria Frias. I am happily enjoying life in an unstructured world and doing fun things like executive coaching, DEI work, and serving on boards.
I'm Anthony Galloway, partner at the Dendros Group and pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota.
I'm Halili, owner of the Other Media Group.